Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. A steward is a servant, or someone to whom a trust is committed. Now this implies that there is a superior to whom the steward must give an account. He has a duty managing and dispersing goods that are owned by another for the benefit of the owner. A steward, then, is a caretaker of the master's interest, and he is expected to be trustworthy and reliable and honest and truthful. He is to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, a steward has a lord, which means a master. In Luke 12 and verse 42, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? When we think of a steward, we think about Joseph, for he was such a man on the behalf of the man named Potiphar. Christians are presented in Scripture as stewards. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Yes, Christians are stewards of God, and therefore they are accountable to God. In Romans 14 and verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. A bishop of the church is a steward of God, Titus 1 and verse 7. In the service of God, just as was the steward of Abraham, Eliezer. He was in the service to Abraham, receiving instructions from Abraham and giving answer to Abraham. Such is the role of a steward. Now, to whom do all things belong? Crucial in our discussion is to learn who is the master, who is the owner, who is the one whose stewards we are. We must recognize this truth, friend, about ownership. Some seem to think that what they have and what they earn really belongs to them. Well, this is simply not so. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? You see, our possessions are not really ours. We do not even belong to ourselves, having been bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6. Now, certainly our material possessions are not really our possessions. And positive proof of that can be seen that when we leave at death, what do we take with us? Someone has asked of a rich man one time, how much did he leave? And another answered, he left it all. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgment and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for he it is that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail. And he begatteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. And as he came forth from his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. What profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? Job said in Job 1, verse 21, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Dear listener, can there be any doubt in our minds that we really possess nothing? but that we only have temporary use of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us? I heard a man commenting one time on the Arab-Israeli strife of today that Israel was given the land of Canaan forever. The Arab said it was never God's to give. It is true that God gave Israel that land at one time. Of course, Israel turned from God and lost the land. But to think that God could not give it because it was never his is absolutely ludicrous and ridiculous. All things belong to God. In Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. All was his. In Exodus 19 and verse 5, for all the earth is mine. In Deuteronomy 10 verse 14, behold, the heaven and the heavens of heavens is the Lord thy God, the earth also, with all that is therein. In Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Psalm chapter 50, the mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken, and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. For every beast of the field is mine, for all the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains. The wild beasts of the field are mine. The forest is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. The prophet Ezekiel affirmed, behold, all souls are mine. Haggai said, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And in the New Testament, in Romans 14 and verse 8, for whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. In 1 Corinthians 10 verse 26, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Well, we cannot miss the picture, trying to discover to whom do all things belong. Why, it is the Lord. When Abraham gained spoils from his victories over the kings in Genesis chapter 14, he knew the spoils did not belong to him, but he said, to God the possessor of heaven and earth, verse 22. And at Jericho, the spoils belonged to the treasury of God. Achan was the man who violated that trust and took things for himself that were God's, and he suffered the punishment because of it. How is our stewardship established? It is established by knowing to whom we shall give an account. A tenant gives account to the landowner. When we are as but tenants, God is the landowner. And even as we give, we show stewardship. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, both riches and honor come from thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great and to give strength. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, of thine own have we given thee. In Luke chapter 12, it tells of a man who failed to understand his role as a steward. He might have been considered a master by some, but he was a steward nonetheless. He prospered, and that was not even his fault. He considered what he had to be his. He spoke 13 times about I and my and mine, as if what he had was really his. The Lord called him a fool. He was nothing more but a temporary steward, and was made powerfully evident at his death. And to whom thanks is given is to the owner. Every gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights. Ephesians 5 and verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks, dear friend, to the one who owns what we have. We are stewards of God's grace, 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, and of God's mysteries, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. God has given us our lives, and we are determining what to do with our lives. We dare not withhold from God what really belongs to Him. We owe God our very life. Good stewardship of life, therefore, means a faithful use of life as willing and living sacrifices to the service of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul expected to be rewarded. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. He expected the Lord to reward him. The one talent man, he was rebuked by his master because he did not do what he could have done. It was not that he did something wrong. It was not that he lost the one talent that was given him. It was not that he failed to double his talent as the others had done. It was because he did not do what he could have done. Except for the truth that God is possessor, how could he assume such authority? But God does have authority, because he is the owner of all that is within our power. Now these terms imply stewardship, ownership, relationship that exists between the real owner and his steward. And that relationship can be broken to the steward's destruction. The unrighteous steward, of whom we read in Luke chapter 16, was dismissed, and he showed his disloyalty both before being called into account and after being called into account, because he looked after his own interest rather than the interest of his Lord. Having already wasted his master's goods, he later manipulated affairs to achieve what he wanted rather than what was in the best interest of the master. And though he was commended for his shrewdness in considering his own interest, he had not discharged his stewardship properly, and he was removed from his place. Friend, unfaithfulness severs our relationship with our master. In Luke chapter 16, there was a certain man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him, and he said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Well, that's the way it is with the God-man relationship. Now, stewardship includes the handling of money, but much more besides. It involves our contribution, but more than that is included. What of our time? What of our talents and our energies and our thought and our influence? How do we spend life itself? It was asked of Malachi in Malachi 3 and verse 8, Will a man rob God? Men have too often attempted to rob God, either taking for themselves what belonged to God, or possibly making the attempt to withhold from God what was rightfully his and what God had a right to expect. To be an acceptable steward, then, everything we do must be done in harmony with the will of our master. We cannot imagine one being classified as a good steward who went against the will of the master. Good stewardship means, Thy will be done. And so we do well to ask ourselves, how do we dispense with our money? How do we use our time? How do we spend our energies and our abilities? We should do so as if the Lord physically walked right by our side, because spiritually, He is with us, and we shall give an account. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.